Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
SOS 101, Voting Systems in Texas. Friday, Texas Secretary of State John Scott released the second installment of SOS 101, a series of videos educating voters about election administration in Texas ahead of the November 8th general election. In the video that can be found at tinyurl.com/3cphu74s, Scott provides an overview of voting systems in Texas and the process for certifying and deploying voting machines for use in Texas elections. Scott also visits with Hays County Elections Administrator Jennifer Dodoff during her office public logic and accuracy testing of voting machines held earlier this week. Today you'll be learning about voting systems in Texas, including why we use them, how they're certified, and how laws and regulations in Texas help ensure that our vote is secure, Scott states in the video. Here are a couple of key facts that you, as a Texas voter, should know when it comes to securing our voting system. 1. Voting machines in Texas are never connected to the internet. 2. Only the software that our office certifies can be loaded on voting equipment. And 3. All voting machines in Texas are tested for logic and accuracy 3 times, twice before the election and once immediately after the election. Downtown Odessa prepares for October events. Downtown Odessa, Inc. has scheduled 2 events to take place in late October. The first event is a second downtown arts tour set to begin at 6 p.m. October 28th. The second event is Treats on the Streets, ready to take place from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 31st. Downtown Odessa and Odessa Arts Friday join together to celebrate the history and culture of De Los Muertos on a guided walking tour, stopping at 5 local businesses downtown. People can decorate sugar skulls, sample salsa recipes, watch mariachis perform, and participate in many other activities. The art tour will make 5 stops at locations including the Ector County Theater, Copper Key Gifts and Realty, Side Bar and Grill, Torchy's Tacos, the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Tours will start at 6 p.m. and are limited to 100 tickets. Get tickets and order t-shirts by visiting downtownodessatexas.com. Participants must be 21 years or older with valid ID to participate in the event, and non-alcoholic beverages are available at all beverage stops. Treat on the Streets, prepared by Copper Key Gift and Realty. This family fun, free event will feature different participating businesses scattered downtown. From 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 31st, people can visit participating local businesses downtown to receive a map and stamp page. Follow the map to get their page stamped 10 times at different downtown businesses to be eligible for giveaways. Stamp pages will be provided to the first 5,000 participants. Limit 1 stamp per page per participant. Downtown Odessa, Inc. will be giving away free t-shirts while supplies last. More information can be found at downtownodessatexas.com. Burglary suspect arrested in Odessa. Odessa police officers looking for a possible prowler Wednesday afternoon ended up arresting a burglary suspect instead. According to the Odessa Police Department report, a 911 call was made from a local domestic violence shelter around 2 p.m. Wednesday. The caller said they saw a man wearing red pants and a white shirt jumping their fence, and they thought he might be a batter looking for his victim. Officers found a man matching that description, Axton Wessler Wood, 23, nearby getting into an Uber vehicle along with 2 other people and a 55-inch Samsung television. According to the report, the officers remembered that there had been a burglary a block away the day before and thought perhaps the two were connected. When they looked up the report, they learned the victims of the burglary named her former boyfriend, Wood, as a possible suspect, the report stated. The officer met the woman at her home, and she noticed her 55-inch Samsung TV was missing from her living room, according to the report. Wood told officers he found the TV in an alley, figured it was for anyone to pick up, the report stated. A 26-year-old man who was with Wood that afternoon, told officers Wood had left him and Mary Dutchover, 18, at the Dollar General store, and when they got back, he was swearing profusely. When the Uber driver came to pick them up, he said Wood instructed him to stop for a moment, and Wood got out of the car. When he came back from a nearby alley, the man told officers Wood had the TV, according to the report. Wood was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, a Class 2 felony punishable by a prison sentence for 2 to 20 years. He is being held in the Exeter County Jail as of Friday on $40,000 surety bond. Online court records show he is awaiting trial on drug possession and tampering with evidence, charges filed in July. Dutchover was cited and released on a possession of drug paraphernalia charge after officers found a methamphetamine pipe in her possession. Congressman Pfluger invites students to service academy night. Congressman August Pfluger, Representative San Angelo, will be hosting a service academy night on Tuesday at the Midland Army Airfield Museum. The event will take place from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the museum at 9600 Wright Drive. Students, parents, counselors, and educators are encouraged to attend and learn more about enrolling in the U.S. Military Service Academy. Service Academy Night provides the opportunity to learn about Academy nominated process and meet with representatives from the U.S. Military Service Academies, Reserve Officers Training Corp, and Congressman Pfluger's office. One of my great honors of serving in Congress is having the ability to nominate future leaders to one of our esteemed military academies, Pfluger said in a news release. As a graduate of U.S. Air Force Academy, I can tell you firsthand there is no greater privilege than answering our nation's call and swearing an oath to defend this country and keep it secure. This nation, enshrined in the ideals of freedom, liberty, and opportunity, is held up by the men and women who don the uniform and valiantly defend this great country. In the 11th District, we have incredible young men and women. I challenge each and every one of you to think about a service academy. We need your skills. We need your leadership. We need your service. The country needs your service.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with another Inside Page article from the Odessa American, published Sunday, September 25th. Odessan faces child porn charges. A 37-year-old West Odessa man is facing multiple child pornography charges following an investigation launched by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Texas Department of Public Safety. According to DPS records, a search warrant was served at the West University Boulevard home of Daniel Martinez II due to a National Center tip, and as a result, multiple pornographic images of children were found on Martinez's 2 laptops and 2 desktop computers. Martinez was arrested Wednesday on 4 warrants for possession of child pornography by DPS and was released from the Ector County Jail Thursday after posting $100,000 in surety bonds. This charge is a Class 3 felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 26th. That's a B, as in Blanton. Elementary school's ranking jumps from F to B. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Having served at Blanton previously and returning as principal, Camu Smith saw the potential for improvement in the campus. This year, Blanton went from an F to a B and came within points of reaching an A, which is the next objective, Smith said. A variety of factors went into the jump. Smith said it was a structured learning environment, a collaborative, diverse culture of learning, and sustaining a high level of rigorous instruction in every classroom. Smith said they have already identified the areas that need work and are shooting for an A next year. Smith came to Blanton in late February 2021, and assistant principal Amanda Bizzle arrived in August 2021. Blanton was rated a D under state accountability ratings in 2019, but dropped to an F in 2020. The campus is projected to have about 510 students in pre-kindergarten, four-year-olds through fifth grade. Quote, "When I was placed over here in February of 2021, I knew most of the teachers because in the 17-18, 18-19 school year, I was the assistant principal before I was moved to the principal over at Pease Elementary for a year and a half," Smith said. "I knew that the potential for Blanton was high. I knew that there were strong teachers and that it just needed a little more focus and the structure of the campus needed to be more student-centered. That was the first thing that we did to create a structured learning environment. We just aligned it to what the standards were and laid those foundational skills and those expectations. Through data-driven instruction and meeting with teachers, they met their plan," Smith said. Some teachers were moved around, but she knew things were poised to get better. "Last year, pre-kindergarten and kindergarten really played a role in laying those foundational goals," Bizzle said. Smith said they wanted to lay strong foundational skills for when the younger students got to the upper elementary grades. They targeted students that were struggling to fill in the gaps, but they also extended that learning to the students who were doing well. Quote, "We had our work cut out for us because there was a large varying degree of skills within each grade level," Smith said. Bizzle said they looked at every student's potential. Quote, "We met with students on this campus. Even having over 500 students, we looked at every student and their potential and how they could be grown, how they needed to grow," Bizzle said. Teachers met with students, and administrators met with teachers. Quote, "We went over the data to where we specifically knew the students as far as their overall needs as a learner," Smith said. She added that they have not had a chance to compare notes with other campuses about their successes to see if it worked the same way. Smith said they made sure the curriculum was solid and rigorous through the framework, which is the curriculum broken down and how the teachers deliver it. There are different skills and needs at each campus, and you just have to find out what they are and strategically work to meet them, Smith said. She added that more than half of their students are new to them this year. Smith said they have identified master teachers as teacher leaders. Quote, "We've made them part of an advisory board with the leadership team," Bizzle said. Bizzle said they are kind of like a middleman going between administration and other teachers. Quote, "But they can go in and support those teachers in a non-evaluative way," Bizzle said. Aftermath of the pandemic mirrors history. The story was written by Carol A. Keats, the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. "Almost every day, I get some sort of alert from a healthcare professional organization about increasing violence directed at healthcare workers. Unfortunately, it's not just in other places, it's here in the basin too. It's a topic I find myself discussing with colleagues far too often. Other professions are seeing the same trends. My husband is a teacher, and he frequently remarks how there are more and more fights and how it seems like the kids are becoming increasingly violent. I know there have been a couple of viral videos from Permian Basin schools of fights to the point of near riot to a serious attack on a teacher. Then there are the active shooters. It seemed like it stopped when COVID was at its worst, but that too has come back and with a vengeance across the nation. Not so much here in the basin at this point, thank God. Praying that doesn't change. Once was more than enough. When I discuss the subject of increasing violence with friends and colleagues, the overwhelming question we all ask is, why? I think it's really tempting to say it's that generation, referring to kids and younger adults, but I see it just as much among people that are old enough to know better. Last week, I read an article that explained at least some of it, and I thought I would share. This, to me, might fall into the "those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it" category. In a recent book, Plagues and Their Aftermath, How Societies Recover from Pandemics, author Brian Michael Jenkins looks at past plagues, such as the Black Plagues in Europe during the Middle Ages, to the 1918 flu pandemic, to the current post-COVID attitudes and many outbreaks between, for common trends. What he found was society was affected on many levels, not just on the health-illness scale. The first similarity he noticed was the effect of quarantines and travel restrictions on the economy and on civil liberties. Historically, that has resulted in a shift toward distrust in government and a feeling that government has overstepped its boundaries. We have certainly seen that in this pandemic. In the 1793 yellow fever outbreak in Philadelphia, the resulting unrest led to immigrant restrictions and an increase in dubious treatments for yellow fever, including wine as a cure. Long-term studies of those affected by the 1918 pandemic found that those who had come from parts of the U.S. or other countries that had high mortality rates during the 1918 pandemic had significantly lower trust in government, even decades after the pandemic. Cholera pandemics in the 1800s showed similar issues with governmental trust. Antisocial and violent behavior has also increased in the aftermath of pandemics of the past. Psychologists feel it is related to the prolonged isolation, which causes increased anxiety and increased irritability. That, in turn, promotes aggression and decreases impulse control. Underlying anger and chronic stress also led to that aggression and poor impulse control. Those feelings can lead to an increase in random violence. As a society, we are certainly seeing that homicides jumped from 16,600 in 2019 in the U.S. to 21,500 in 2020, and it increased again in 2021. The jump between 2019 and 2021 in homicides was a whopping 38%, the biggest increase in more than half a century. That was seen in the Plague of Athens, the Black Plagues of the Middle Ages, and several other plagues throughout history. The Greek historian Thucydides stated, quote, "Athens owed to the plague the beginnings of lawlessness," end quote. The 14th century poet Giovanni Boccaccio likened people's behavior during the Black Plagues to animals, where it was every man for himself. Plagues in history have also led to an increase in disparities between the haves and the have-nots, an increase in scapegoating of people who are different, including racial, ethnic tensions, and economic uncertainty. Things we have certainly seen in this pandemic as well. Much of this we cannot control because the scale is so huge, but we can control how we treat those around us as individuals. We don't have to allow the stresses of the pandemic to follow us into the future as past societies did. We can make sure that here in the basin, we do what we do best, cling together as a community, even when history and overall society is trying to make us fall apart. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. One person shot at Music City Mall. Odessa police have confirmed to CBS 7 that a shooting happened Saturday afternoon in the parking lot of Music City Mall. Officials say that one person was shot and taken to Medical Center Hospital. Their condition is unknown, according to Channel 7. Police say that the shooting initially started as a fight in the mall parking lot. OPD units were on scene in the parking lot near the Burlington department store, the station reported. No other information was released by Odessa police. Fix West Texas at 5023 Princeton Avenue in Midland has scheduled a walk-in vaccinations from 10 a.m. to noon today. To make an appointment, donate, for pricing, or more information, visit tinyurl.com/22PYJ4YT or fixedwestexas.org. The Ector County Library at 321 West 5th Street has scheduled Superhero Coding Children's Event from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. today. Participants will learn the use of basic computer coding ideas. To learn more, call Angela Coale at 432-332-0633, extension 2126. Email acoale at ector.lib.tx.us or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Medical Center Hospital is in need of volunteers for its volunteer services. Applications may be found online. To apply, or for more information, call 432-640-2249, email jjones1@echd.org, or visit tinyurl.com/YFJJMYHC. Odessa Regional Medical Center is in need of auxiliary volunteers. The auxiliary is open to men and women of all ages. For online registration form, visit odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/volunteer. For more information, call 432-582-8399 or email kaitlyn@steward.org. Odessa Meals on Wheels of Odessa needs volunteers. Volunteer opportunities include drivers, kitchen staff, and Mudbug fundraising. To sign up or for more information, call 432-333-6451, email volunteer@mowodessa.com, or visit mowodessa.com. The West Texas Food Bank is in need of volunteers. Volunteer activities include assembling pantry boxes, assembling senior boxes, assembling food to kids' backpacks, sorting and processing donated items, sorting and processing produce, distributing food in our drive-through pantry, distributing food on a mobile outreach, and helping the garden team in the XTO Energy Innovative Gardens. All volunteers, regardless of age, are required to register through the WTF Volunteer Hub. Children must be 16 years of age or older to volunteer on their own. Children under the age of 16 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. Dress appropriately and comfortably, no spaghetti strap shirts, short shorts, leggings, or clothes that are revealing. Also, closed-toe shoes only, no flip-flops, sandals, or heels are allowed in the warehouse for safety purposes. For more information or registering a group, email Volunteer Coordinator Cinda Garcia at cgarcia@wtxfoodbank.org. To register, visit tinyurl.com/mukxdvyf.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. How do I know if I've been vaccinated for polio? Dear Dr. Roach, how do I know if I've been vaccinated for polio? Answer. The first U.S. transmitted case of polio in a decade was reported in Rockland County, New York, in July 2022. The person who contracted polio was unvaccinated. They probably contracted the disease from a person who was vaccinated outside the U.S., since it was a vaccine-derived polio case. Occasionally, the weakened strain used for the oral polio vaccine can mutate and cause disease. The oral polio vaccine has not been used in the U.S. since 2000, but it is still used in other parts of the world. The inactivated polio vaccine we now use is not alive, cannot mutate, and cannot cause polio. The vast majority of American and Canadian adults are vaccinated for polio, as it is required for school, so most adults do not need vaccination, but it is routine for those traveling to endemic areas to receive a booster. Unfortunately, many children have not gotten their boosters on time due to the pandemic, and parents in the area of the case are recommended to get their kids' vaccines up to date as soon as possible. Anyone exposed to a known case should get guidance from their physician, who will probably be in contact with the health department.
Dear Abby, colleagues' abuse of sick leave has come to a head. Dear Abby, my coworker takes advantage of our employer's generous sick leave policy and calls in sick frequently. She will return the next day with no outward sign of illness and has, on several occasions, returned with a fresh haircut and manicure. When she's at work, she frequently steps away from her desk for personal calls. I finally said something to our supervisor because I feel taken advantage of. Having worked in this office for more than 10 years, I know the work inside and out, so I can do my work and hers with ease. I actually like my coworker, but I feel she's taking me for granted. Our supervisor had a talk with her, but it didn't help. Would it be unreasonable for me to have a frank discussion with her directly? I foresee that it may cause a cool reception, but I'm losing patience. Coworker conundrum. Dear coworker, it's not unreasonable to speak with this coworker, but what have you to gain by confronting her, and what do you have to lose? If it will cause a frostier work environment, don't do it. A better solution would be to stop doing her work for her. Having to face the consequences of slacking may give her an incentive to change her ways. Dear Abby, my husband of many years is lovely and sweet every morning, but after drinking, which he does every day starting at 4 or 5 o'clock, his personality changes. I have to be extremely careful of every word I say, or I will be the recipient of his sarcasm and or anger. So I'm anxious and worried every evening until he goes to sleep, which fortunately is very early. In the morning, he expects me to be happy and cheerful, as if nothing went on the night before. I've tried to discuss this with him, but it doesn't help. After years of this, I have become depressed and would really appreciate your advice. At Wits End in Florida. Dear At Wits End, you are married to an alcoholic. Marriage to a verbally abusive alcoholic would make anybody depressed. I can only wonder why you have chosen to tolerate this for so long. The path toward a solution to your problem would be to start with locating the nearest Al-Anon meeting and attending some of them. If you do, you will find the support and help you are looking for. You can find a nearby meeting by visiting alanon.org/info. Dear Abby, I have a handyman doing work on my home. I notice that when he uses the bathroom, he is in there for a while and going number two. My anxiety levels are through the roof. Do I tell him anything? And what should I say? Nervous lady in California. Dear lady, may I share a truism? When we gotta go, we gotta go. If your handyman leaves the bathroom in the same condition when he exits as when he goes in there, you have nothing to be anxious about. Be gracious, and when you need a handyman, there will always be someone willing to help you.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.